Welcome to the Ecology and Research Channel. Green issues, ecology, incredibly important to embodiment. Obviously, we're embodied in place, we're embodied in a world. How we treat ourselves is how we treat the planet and vice versa. So this is super important, I think, for our whole planet. Research relates to this. We've sort of put two together there. We didn't quite know where to put research, so we put them with ecology. This stage has lots of great speakers, people I personally enjoy, and it's sponsored by Forests Without Frontiers. So rather than sell a sponsorship for this channel, we decided, you know what, let's give it away to a green charity. Tree planting seemed a good one. We thought we can all get behind that. We all breathe air. We looked into a load, actually. Some of them are quite famous, but don't actually plant a lot of trees, weirdly, or other things aren't so good with them. This one, Forests Without Frontiers, really does the work. They're in charge of a really big reforestation project in Central Europe, but, you know, we're all breathing it, thank you. It's run by Nicoletta, a very cool lady, and just a cool organization that really does the work. The money goes, you know, efficiently to actually planting trees. I'm happy to be supporting them. For me, it was like, you know, when we were looking at our charities to support, a green one just made a lot of sense to me. That just was obvious. Please do support them. Links below. As well as that, enjoy the whole channel. There's so much richness in this topic.
So with us tonight on the, I guess it's 3.5 days-ish into our conference, and we're welcoming Stephen Harper, who's from the beautiful territories of Northern California and in and around Esalen. And he leads wilderness hikes and around the mountains of California, as well as integrating eco-psychology and mindfulness practices to enhance the connection with the natural world. And he's also been published multiple times in various periodicals and books for his wisdom pertaining to the natural world and how he shares that with others. So welcome, Stephen, and we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. So first off, I'd just like to welcome you into my home here in Big Sur. And then thank you for inviting me into yours. Just an overview of what I hope to do during this time is just a little bit about me, so you can understand the lens of which I kind of perceive the world and come to this work. I'd like to offer a brief practice, guided meditation. Then I will do some talking about some conceptual, I hope to take to the perceptual, what we can experientially in our body feel. And I'm suggesting that even here on Zoom, where you are now, you can have a direct experience of wild nature. So we'll see if that's true. There will be some experiential practices so we can engage with both inner and outer wild nature. We might touch upon, if we have time, a piece of coming to our senses. And then I'd like to give a little assignment, a nature practice assignment for those that want it. And then some time for questions, if you have them. So that's where I see us headed. And I'll start off with a little bit about the engagement we have here. I've been working with Zoom for a good 5 years. And one of the things I think is really important is it's so easy to see this screen, our computer, as another entertainment, because that's often how we use it. So here we sit here and go, okay, what does this person have to say? And the screen almost is an object. One of the things that you can do that will really make a difference that we can do is connect with yourself, your body, sensations, feelings, emotions, with whatever is being offered. Feel, imagine into the visible and invisible threads that connect us. And this will make quite a bit of difference of how we experience our time together here. So consider this an awareness lab. It's a place to make experiments, try on something different, perhaps something new for you. So just briefly, I have quite an eclectic interest and eclectic background. And I kid sometimes that I suffer from eclectophilia, the love of the eclectic. I basically kind of grew up at Esalen. I've taught there for well over 40 years. I've taken hundreds of workshops and trainings. I've offered hundreds of workshops and retreats. with more than 70 co-leaders. Many of them are participating here in this conference. Many of them are keynote speakers, close friends, or people I've worked with in some manner. So I also have offered hundreds of workshops on a variety of subjects at places like Esalen, Tassajara Zen Center, and other retreat venues, both in the Western US and then actually around the world. So simultaneous to this work, I was also working for the National Outdoor Leadership School, NOLS, Outward Bound, many river companies, my own company, leading extended expeditions, expeditions that went up to literally 3 months long in wilderness. So I've had one part of my life in a deep passion for exploring inner wilderness. Another part of my life has been a deep passion for exploring inner wilderness. So it's kind of been both. And to me, they're the same thing. So the modalities that primarily inform me, one, there are many, but the first one would probably be the direct experience of wilderness. And then of course, mindfulness practices, meditation. I've been a student of Buddhism for almost 50 years, not quite. And movement practices, certainly for a long time, since I was 17, Aikido, Tai Chi, and then early days, Continuum, Five Rhythms. And then a constant theme through my life has been Gestalt practice in the tradition of Dick Price, who is the co-founder of Esalen, and then also body work. So that's a little bit about the background, the lens of how I come to what I have to offer here. There are some assumptions I make. Before I make those and give out those assumptions, I'd like us all just to take a short moment to all drop in. So what I'm encouraging, and this is for me too, I'm gonna encourage you, you can soften your gaze. You can, if you like, close your eyes, have them half open. Let your body though, let your awareness really come into your body and you're sitting here right now. Right here, right now. And for these moments, nothing to do, nowhere to go. Feeling this sitting here, sensing your body, feeling your feet on the ground, feeling your sit bones, feeling your shoulders and perhaps letting them soften, feeling your jaw and the area around the eyes. And again, let them soften. And then I'm gonna invite you to bring your awareness, gather your awareness, and see if you can let it really land, ground, and rest in the sensations of your breathing. This moment of this breath, this sensation. And you might notice the difference between thinking about breath and actually letting your awareness come up and rub against the actual sensations of breathing moment to moment. Tracking and following this luscious breath that gives us aliveness moment to moment. And from this breath, opening your awareness to any outer sensations, sound, temperature of the room, any smells. And from this place of breath and opening to outer sensations, opening even further to include any inner sensations, tingling, vibration, pressure, heat, cold, any sensations of feeling, any emotions that may or may not come to surface. Being open and curious, bringing awareness to rest in whatever arises. In a moment, there'll be a bell, and I'll invite you to let the bell be the object of your awareness and mindfulness. And as you come back to the screen, see if you can keep the same quality of awareness. And see if as you come back to the screen, you can actually feel the visible and invisible threads that connect us through space and time. Wonderful. So gently arriving. Know that you can always land and rest in breath at any time during our time here together. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, give you some concepts that I'd like to then take to what we can feel perceptually, what we can embody. So first the concepts. But as I'm giving the concepts, you can see in your body what kind of fits and align if you're willing to stay aware with this inner terrain as you listen to the concepts. We're working through the head, but also the heart and our body, our belly, feeling into what's being offered. So I do make some assumptions that wild nature can be actually our primary teacher in cultivating awareness. And that coming into this is a gift that lets us be more awake to life and actually offers us more aliveness. And this is nothing new. Wisdom traditions have gone to wild nature, to wilderness, for well beyond, you know, written words, certainly into the time of spoken word and probably beyond. Now, to do that though, in a way that we really find and let ourselves be student of nature, it does require a heightened sense and cultivating of other ways of knowing. One is we have the way of knowing through our head and the intellect, a wonderful thing to do. And we've worked that really well. In this time, I'll really be encouraging us into the body. And of course, that's the theme of what we're doing here. So how can we embody? And I would say we actually need to embody if we want to be a student of nature and of wild nature. And then another assumption I make is to be a student, we need to invite ourselves into the place of not knowing. Yeah, so this is a little bit against the grain of typical Western culture. We're trained to know or pretend to know. We get A's for knowing, we get F's for not knowing. We get promotions for knowing, and for not knowing, we get fired or left the same level. So here I'm inviting us to actually step in, if you're willing, to a place of not knowing. And certainly when we step into wild nature, either inner or outer, it can be really useful to step in with that engagement of not knowing and being willing to be surprised and find what comes forth. So from my experience, wild nature is one of the easiest set and settings to feel the fact of our inner connectedness and our inner being. So I'll say it again, it's one of the easiest set and settings to feel the fact of our interconnectedness and inner being. We are completely interdependent and interconnected from what I understand to date and have known to date. And the open question for us all as we're here and we're engaged with this inner life of inner wilderness and we're engaged perhaps with outer, what we call outer nature, can we feel into this embodied knowing and wisdom of interdependence and interconnectedness? Now, we do have some issues with language here. I will talk about inner wilds and outer wilds. And I'll speak about wilderness and nature as something though that's outside of ourselves and something separate. And this is one of the problems with language. It is dual. So please know that we are nature. We are wild nature. We are wilderness, both inside and outside. Even these terms are concepts. Because the only way we can actually know an outside is through an inside experience that's in this organism. So for right now, even to hear my voice, it has to come through some waves. It has to come into your ear and go through some processes. And it even might go through more processes where your mind makes meaning of it. And perhaps the organism, the heart and the body, begins to make some meaning to the words that are coming in. But we can only know an outside by actually having an inside experience. So even this inside outside, the language really is not accurate. We need to bring the two together. The other piece here that I'd like to mention before we step, two things before we step into some practice, is this human body and the earth body, I would like us to begin to consider as actually being one and the same. Yes, there is this earth body, and I believe we are an expression of this earth body as a human body. We know we are made of stardust. We are nature manifest with a particular type of consciousness. We like to think our consciousness is unique, and perhaps it is. And we often speak, of course, as though our body is separate from this earth body. And during this time, and perhaps during some time that you're out in physical nature, that perhaps you can feel the way that we're deeply connected to this earth body, and we're actually not separate in any manner at all. We are literally a blossom, an expression of this earth body into a human body. We also have this issue of language around body, mind, and spirit. And of course, way back in the 60s and 70s, when I was entering into this work, we had to use mind, body. And now I often will just use the word organism, because that includes for me, body, mind, spirit, anything else you'd like to put under that umbrella. It's a full somatic embodiment of all three, body, mind, and spirit, this organism. The word organism also reminds us that we too are animals. We too are animals. So when we're gifted with this, we're gifted with an experience of inner being and interconnectedness. And when we really feel this sense of connection of body, mind, spirit, a somatic relationship, earth body, we begin to kind of soften the solidified sense of an inherent separate self. It begins to soften and begins to shift a little bit from the way we've come into the world and engage with others, engage with ourselves. So that's a lot of words. I would like to take that to some experience. And all of these are borrowed really from primary universal ways to come present, is to come into the body. And this is through wisdom traditions across the globe. Yeah. And there's two primary ways that we come into the body. One is gravity, sensation of gravity. And we find that through so many practices, from yoga to Tai Chi to martial arts, number of practices. This is the way we come to present. The other and probably most universal way is to come into the breath. And if we want to be in an authentic embodied dialogue with nature, with ourselves, we need to be embodied. So I'm going to invite us, if you're willing, to come to standing. Now, this can be done sitting, but I'm going to invite you to come to standing if it's easy for you to do. And if not, you can do it sitting. It's not a required, but I think it's just a little easier to engage in the way I'm inviting you to. You can come to standing. And as you come to standing, the first invitation is to come into your feet. And while you can't see my feet, I'd like you to feel the bottoms of your feet, the literal skin of your feet, and to feel the sensations of how your feet make contact with the floor and the earth beneath you. And you might even, with your, almost like cats, how they use the their paws to feel the ground. Take a moment to actually, with your feet, let them be cat feet and feel the ground beneath you. And let the ground actually feel you. So it is relational. It's not just me feeling the ground, it's the ground feeling me. From this space of feet on the ground, I'm gonna invite us up to an area that I'll give a number of names to. But I'll first ask you just to come up a few fingers beneath your navel. Give yourself a little pat on the belly there. And you can even give yourself a little cue on the sacrum here. And right between these hands, there's an area of the body that many traditions consider to be the center of wisdom when it comes to movement of the body or the body itself. So this is a good place to pay attention. In the Japanese tradition, this is called the hara, Yeah, the Sufi tradition, this is the kaf. In the Chinese tradition, this is the dantian or tantian. So this would be the place of origination of any movement. Yeah? So this is a good place to learn, to inhabit, and to be. And we'll play with really bringing our attention to this part of our body, which many of us have left in some ways. There are even some Tibetan traditions that go as far as saying, actually, this is the center of wisdom, period. This is the center of wisdom, of knowing whatever it is that we do know. So coming into here, feeling this as a spherical sense, letting it grow, seeing if you can actually put your hara above your feet in gravity. So that might be some rocking back side to side, front to back. And once you have a sense of your hara being directly over your feet, I'm gonna invite you to bring your shoulders up with a breath and let them go. Let them go. So you can really feel your hara over your feet, soft hands, soft shoulder, and even a soft gaze. Eyes open enough to see the screen and see what I'm demoing. Primary attention is internal. It's internal. Feeling hara over feet. It's not a static place. It's a place of constantly finding, where is that place where my hara is directly in alignment over my feet in a dialogue with gravity? Now, coming up, the heart is wide. So if there's not a good solid base, often the heart does not want to open, or it's very difficult for it to open. This is wise, you know, if there's not some foundation, it's pretty risky. So I'm inviting you to come up to your heart region and purposely activate by stroking down to your belly, your hara. So starting up high and stroking down to the hara. So we're bringing our attention literally a little lower in our body. We tend to kind of be up, so we're bringing lower in our body. And at the same time, we're also opening and softening the heart. We're giving a physical cue to the region of our heart that embodies our emotional body, all of our feelings, that the wisdom of the heart. The heart, of course, has a mind of its own, and we can soften and open and let the heart be in alignment directly above the hara. So some people will be in the world where maybe they lead with the hara. Some people might lead with the head. Some people might lead with the heart. In this case, the invitation is to see if you can put hara above the feet and then a soft, open heart in alignment directly above hara. So we have hara and a soft heart gently above the hara in alignment and in a dialogue with gravity. And in any dialogue, it's a constant thing. It's not something that becomes static or held. Now, lastly, we're going to stack the last of our H's. We have Hara, heart, and the head. We're going to put the head directly above the heart in alignment with gravity. Often in our Western culture, at least, we have many people walking around as talking heads. And we even refer to that in our culture. Oh, that person has a great head on their shoulders. And you'll see a lot of people even walking around leading with the head. What's it like to feel your feet on the ground? Hara, soft, open heart, and head directly above the heart. So we're meeting, we're greeting the world with our Hara, our belly, the wisdom of the gut, the softness and wisdom of the heart, and the head, and all that it carries. And then can we take a moment to bring the shoulders up and let them go with an exhale and shake out the hands. Yes. And now I'm going to invite you from this place, the feet on the ground, heart, head, to bring your awareness to the breath. And first of all, I'm going to invite you to bring the awareness of your breath as it is, without needing to change it or make it different or breathe some way that you were taught to breathe, perhaps. Just notice your breath as it is. It's very important to start with what is before we introduce changes. So first noticing what is with the breath, and then I'm going to invite us to see if we can have a little fuller breath for a few moments. So I'm going to use a little toy here just for the illustration, the visual part. So I'd like to see if you can visualize it, but also more important to visual and feel it inside your body. The sense of having a breath that starts at the Hara and grows up through the heart and goes all the way up to the top of the head. And on the exhale, back down through the heart and back into the Hara. So a breath, it starts from the belly, coming into a soft belly, into the Hara. Let's do two or three of these together, or if this works better for you, at your own pace. So feeling a breath that comes from the Hara up through the heart, full breath into the head. Letting the exhale this time be twice as long as the inhale. Pause at the bottom, full inhale, up through the Hara, heart and head, and then an exhale down through the heart, into the Hara, down into the ground. One more time, from the ground, up through the Hara, heart, head, and then on the out breath and exhale, twice or even three times as long, and settling following the exhale. Great. So taking a few moments as you sit there to just feel from that basic simple practice what you're noticing, taking this pause moment to actually feel what it is you're noticing is very important. Yes. Noticing any ripples, noticing any changes. Okay, now I'm going to ask us to again keep this continuity of awareness as you listen to words. See if you can feel the words through time and space and have them come into your body. I'm going to propose that since we cannot easily be on Zoom and actually also be in a physical setting of wild nature, I'm going to propose that we actually can have a direct experience of wild nature and interconnectedness through breath. So I'd like to first give you some ideas that I have around breath that maybe are assumptions we've made, and maybe we can think of our breath in a little bit different way than we have previously. So I think most of you would agree if I said, these are my lungs. Yeah, these are my lungs. These are my lungs right here. Yeah, most of us would go, yeah, those are Steve's lungs and these are my lungs. I'm gonna propose that this is only one half of my lungs. This is one half of my lungs. Let me make the case for that. The other half are all of the autotrophs. And autotrophs are all of the green ones, all of the plants, the green plants on the earth, all the phytoplankton and algae in the sea and ocean. Yeah. These are all ones that do this very simple but actually complicated thing in a way. They are drinking in H2O, so drinking in water. They are respirating, they are breathing. They're breathing in CO2. They're eating sunlight. They're literally using the energy of sunlight, and they're making this simple but somewhat complex chemical reaction where they make these simple sugars that feed the organism of all the green ones, phytoplankton and algae. Now, in that process, they breathe out O2, oxygen. Well, guess what? We breathe in oxygen. We breathe in oxygen, and we have our own metabolic process. We breathe it in around 21% in this air in front of us, and it goes through a metabolic process, and we breathe it out. We're breathing out maybe at around 16% oxygen. But in that, we're also breathing out CO2. Plants are taking up that CO2, the autotrophs, the green ones, the phytoplankton. They're taking in that CO2, they're bringing up water, eating sunlight, offering up oxygen. Yeah. So literally, the other half of my lungs are all the green ones. And this is where we're deeply interconnected. This is not a conceptual thing. And if you don't believe me, you can try holding your breath for the next 5 minutes and see how that experiment goes. Yeah? We need oxygen. And this is a literal place where we're interconnected with nature, wild nature, breath for breath for breath. Now, of course, plants and the autotrophs breathe a different respiration rate than we do. We're a little faster respiration rate. They're a little slower. But we're all in this breathing together. So that's what I'd like to, again, play with, again, the breath, take a little deeper this time, building off of what we just worked with, and invite you once more to standing. And once you found yourself, let me just make some adjustments there. Once you find your place in the place of standing, the reminder. And maybe your body already will have some kinesthetic memory. Feet. Yeah, your feet are always feeling the ground. We're just actually turning our awareness to what the feet are already doing. The ground is already feeling us. So we're turning our awareness to that. It's already happening. Putting the hara gently above the feet, soft shoulders, open hands, soft eyes. Coming up to a soft heart. Putting the heart directly above the hara and the head directly above the heart. Soft jaw, ease around the eyes. And this time we're gonna literally take a much fuller breath and we're gonna pull it up from the earth. I'd like you to watch me one time and then we can do it three times actually together. Now, of course, if your rhythm is different than the rhythm that I'm demoing, follow your own wisdom of your body and your own breath rhythm. But as much as we can breathe together in this simple thing. So with a kind of uprightness of heart and head, I'm going to be reaching down, watch once, and reaching down from the earth. So I'm reaching down from the earth, and I'm bringing up a breath through my hara, like really right from my pelvis, through my hara, heart, head, and then gently an exhale that is twice as long. Awareness is following the exhale. And if you like, it's really useful to make it slightly audible. So it's a... Yeah. So here we go. First, hara, heart and head, reaching down from the earth, pulling up a breath through the hara, heart, top of the lungs, head. Notice the pause at the bottom of the breath, reaching down, pulling up a breath through the pelvis, hara, heart, head, gently turning, following with awareness the exhale. Pause at the bottom of the breath one last time, reaching down and pulling up a breath through the belly, open heart, head. And exhale twice or three times as long, floating, following with awareness, slightly audible. When you come to the bottom of the breath, a pause and let your body return to its natural breathing, whatever that might be. And critical to this moment is to take a moment to pause and notice what is rippling inside. What are you noticing now? What are you experiencing now? What are you aware of now? And then a big open field of attention, letting yourself feel the back of your body equal to the front. So often we feel the front more than we feel the back. So can you feel the back of your body equal to the front? Can you feel left equal to right? So can you feel above equal to below? So we're putting ourselves in the center of an awareness field. And we're placing ourselves right directly in the middle of that spherical awareness field. Back equal to the front, right equal, right and left equal, above and below. The center of this awareness is originating from the hara, soft open heart, head along for the ride. Wonderful. Keeping the thread of awareness you have now, I invite you to come back to sitting. And add transition is often when we almost leak our continuity of awareness. So at transition, it's really wonderful if you can actually track and kind of follow and hold a sense of same quality of awareness that you just had with yourself. So far during this time, we've been able to play and experiment in our proprioceptive sense and our sense of balance, our vestibular sense. Now, most of us in school were taught five basic senses, and you probably already know those. And it's unfortunate because for a very long time, the scientists that actually study the senses, or what I often call the sense portals, the senses. Name many, many more than this, as do many indigenous cultures and many wisdom traditions. There's many more than five. And we've been playing primarily in the proprioceptive sense. That's my body's capacity to know where it is in space. Yeah? So in space, I can know where my hands are in relationship. So even if you get pulled over by a police officer, if you've been drinking and driving, they might have you close your eyes and touch your nose with your finger. Yeah? This is engaging the proprioceptive sense, which of course gets altered if you've been drinking. So proprioceptive sense is capacity to know ourselves in place and in space, and engages a whole network of system of our neurology here. The other, the vestibular, is deep in the inner ear. This is our sense of alignment and balance, alignment with gravity, and what we would normally call balance. Yeah? And what's wonderful about the proprioceptive sense and also the vestibular sense, by engaging those, they actually go to an older part of the brain, the reticular formation. And what's interesting about the reticular formation that might apply to us is it's right up next to the area that controls our wakefulness. And if one of the things we want to do is become more wakeful, more aware, it's good to tickle that area of the brain. And so it's no mistake that Tai Chi, Aikido, yoga, even a simple sitting practice is working with the proprioceptive sense and the vestibular sense. Now, of course, when we enter into wilderness, external wilderness for this moment, it's wonderful to engage our sense of hearing, our sense of smell. It's been recently shown that we can actually distinguish up to a trillion different smells. The human body, a trillion different smells. Quite remarkable. And our eyes, 10 million colors we're able to perceive. So of course we have the visual, the hearing, the smell, taste. And then we have our skin body, our sense of touch. And the skin body is probably one of the most useful to engage right now, but also in external wilderness, because it's actually not only our largest sense organ, it's actually also the largest organ of the body. So anyway, you can engage your skin body right now, feeling how the clothes hang on your body, feeling any movement of air, feeling any pressure on the skin. Yeah. So I'd like to give you an assignment. And of course, I don't have a way of following up with this assignment. So it's really up to you if you choose to do this. And giving your particular set or and setting, meaning the place you are and the intentions you have, also acknowledging your own experience with nature and or wilderness, meaning wild nature, and where you live. It can be a city and you can find a park that has some wildness to it. And of course, you're going to do this with in a manner giving your particular experience and setting that's safe. And that would be to find a place outside where you can actually do the practices I just offered. And that would be find a place to stand, feel your feet on the ground, engage hara, heart, and head. You can do this standing, you can do this sitting. And then letting yourself land and rest and ground in the sensation of breath. And see if you can actually move from the concept of interconnectedness of earth body, human body, and actually feel breath for breath the other half of our lungs. There's some exchange going on where we're in a state of inner being, in a state of interconnectedness. And once you've found some moment of that, open your awareness and simply listen. Listen with all of your sense portals, all of your sense portals, even the ones I haven't named or that you can't name. Your body is already sensing them, letting your awareness land and rest in an act of listening. And listen deeply. Listen deeply. So I'd like to just make a little transition and pause. And the pause is just taking a moment to feel your own breath. Notice what you're experiencing now. And I'm curious if there's any questions. If there are, I'd love to address them. And Cassie, if you have any questions, you've come in there. And if not, that's fine. I can go on.
There aren't any questions here, but I was actually kind of curious about, you said something about the oldest part of the brain. And I'm just curious, Can you expand on what it's responsible for and what we're tapping into through that?
Yeah, it's not necessarily the oldest, but much older part of the brain, more what would be called the reptilian brain. It's reticular formation, it's kind of the top of the spinal cord, but the bottom of the brain, the brain stem. And there's an area called the reticular formation. And in different anatomy books, it has different names. But many things are channeled through this area. And even, for example, the soft eyes I invited people into, that was very purposeful. And it's very purposeful that in things like Tai Chi and yoga, especially some forms of yoga, some forms of sitting meditation, soft eyes are encouraged in many martial arts. And it's because it's actually using a much older part of the brain when I'm in soft eyes. And soft eyes, which is peripheral gaze, is different than focused gaze. So when I'm in this soft eyes, it also is taking a different route. The focused eyes is crossing hemispheres of the brain, going through the frontal cortex, taking a longer pathway. The peripheral vision is an older part of the brain. And that soft eyes actually stays on both hemispheres and goes directly to the reticular formation. So being in soft gaze, the soft eyes, peripheral gaze, where the world is coming in through the portals of my eyes and landing in my body, allows, again, this tickling of the reticular formation, which is right up against the area of the controls, wakefulness, consciousness, sleep. So we've actually engaged a number of things in this part of the brain, proprioceptive sense, our vestibular sense, and then soft eyes. These all three go right to this older part of the brain and very close to this area of wakefulness. And again, you find this time and time again in any wisdom tradition, whether it be a meditation practice or yoga, like I've said before. So, and again, it's nothing new. And in fact, it's rediscovering something that's very old. Mm-hmm. And in fact, our brain is actually, our body is doing it all the time. We're just bringing our awareness to what's already happening. Yeah. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Well, someone's asking here, can you tell us about some of the other senses that haven't been shared with us in the mainstream of where we are beyond the five senses?
Yeah, I think the two primary ones are acknowledged very easily across most Western science, besides the five, are the proprioceptive and the vestibular sense. Some scientists put those two together and just call it the kinesthetic sense. those two are probably the most useful for ourselves having a relationship with this inner life, this inner wilderness, and especially with a relationship with outer wilderness, especially if we're going to allow wilderness, wild nature to be our primary teacher. And we're going to really step into not knowing. And then the five senses. And yes, there are some other ones. And I think it'd be more confusing at this point to name them because there's disagreement about them. But there's certainly, you know, senses in other indigenous cultures, other wisdom traditions that are acknowledged. But we get into some philosophical discussion that I think might bring us up into the head here. And since we work the intellect so wonderfully and so often, I'm going to encourage us for our time together now to see if we can stay in the body through the hara and the soft heart. And that would be another, perhaps one, would be actually the heart and its wisdom. We know that the heart has a mind of its own. Hearts actually have memory. We know this in tissue. There's been heart transplants done where people, that the new heart came into their body, they actually had memories, heartfelt memories of the heart donor that was not their own, that were confirmed by the donor family. So this heart of ours has its own wisdom and is also a sense portal and brings up our whole emotional life, which, you know, runs so much of our body. And it's, I think, very important to actually, you know, make friends with this heart of ours and the whole range of emotions that we can have and engage with.
Let's see. So this is by the same person. So see if we can sort of draw it together.
Yeah.
What is your favorite practice to deepen your connection to nature? And how can we best thank and take care of the other half of our lungs?
Good question. So first one, repeat that again just so I answer that really clearly. It was two questions. First one.
What is your favorite practice to deepen your connection to nature? And how can we best take care of the other half of our lungs?
Yeah. So first, how can we, you know, my favorite practice to deepen my connection to nature? And again, just acknowledging that language, we just said nature is not is separate from us somehow. So knowing that we are nature, it can be useful actually if you're going out into external nature to have some way of acknowledging that. So often when I take groups out, I have some form of acknowledging the crossing of the threshold of entering the place of being student. And we have this across wisdom traditions. So for example, one I might use, which is borrowed from Shinto tradition of Japan, is very simple. It's a simple. Two claps and a bow. And I could say many words about that. But all wisdom traditions, we have some way of acknowledging the entry into the internal place and also the external place. So if you are entering a church, you might, Catholic church, you might cross yourself, you might take water, you might bow. If you're entering a zendo, you might take a moment where you step across the threshold of the zendo and Zen Buddhism and bow to the practice hall before going into a Plains Indian Native sweat lodge. You might get down on your hands and knees and enter the sweat lodge with some words acknowledging the entry into that space. So I could go on and on, the Jewish tradition, on and on. We have some way of acknowledging the crossing of the threshold into this inner life and also into physical wilderness as being a place to be student. So it's really useful to take a moment to do that in some way that's authentic to you, and it will help deepen that relationship. And again, it's borrowed, you know, across culture. Whenever it's across culture, it's probably something of the human condition and not something of a specific culture.
And one really, really quick question, because we're going to reel it all in.
Yes.
Where is it? Is, nope. Nope. Where'd it go? Dismiss? No. Okay. Soft eyes, is that, are soft eyes the same as peripheral vision?
Yes, soft eyes, peripheral vision is about 180 degrees. We can, if you move your fingers, and it's a very receptive state. You're letting the visual world flood in. We move around the world mostly with focused eyes, which is about 20%. And the body's asking different questions. The focused vision is asking, what? What is that? What is that? What is that? When I'm in soft eyes, the body is asking where. Where am I in space? And though it's actually easier with soft eyes to see movement. And once the movement is seen in soft eyes, we can use focused eyes to go, oh, is that a butterfly or is that a tiger? We need to know the difference. But then we can move back into soft eyes.
Thank you. So yes. We're drawing on, thank you for that. That was really quite calming. After a full day. So for those of you that, you know, have more questions and want to know more about this, you can watch this video for the next 48 hours while the watch it live for the next 48 hours. And then during the length of the conference, you can still purchase it for 50% off. So it does take a while to integrate much of this information. And there's so much, there's such an abundance of material out there that we'd really encourage you both to support yourself in purchasing the library, but it also helps support our endeavor here and help us keep, you know, this mission of embodiment moving out through the world in a lot of ways. So we'd appreciate your support that way and in that symbiosis between support for you, support for us, and it all just goes around. So do take that into consideration. And Stephen, if you would share one final parting snippet sentence of for greater embodiment.
Yes. Well, that would be gratitude. A man I work with quite a bit, Brother David Steinelt Rast, I've co-led with him for years, has a saying, it's not happiness that makes us grateful, it's gratefulness that makes us happy. So, taking a moment for me, I'm very grateful for your choosing to attend, each and every one of you. This is a time we've been practicing for these times of uncertainty, the unknown, the changes, the reality of impermanence in this world. And there's a deep calling for stepping into a larger sense of self and a larger sense of this world. And with that, an honor of gratitude to each and every one. So inviting you to feel your own authentic gratitude for whatever you can easily feel grateful for.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great night, everyone, or morning, wherever you are.
Yeah. Bye. Wonderful to see people I recognize. And those of you that I've never met before, so grateful for you being here. Thank you. Mm-hmm.